Amen. You ought to be thankful for your church and everybody. And listen, everybody ain't glad that you're a member of this church. If you're a member, that you come. And the Lord's give us a lot of new folk. And we're thankful for that. Some of y'all's just got saved recently. And everybody ain't going to be excited that you belong to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. They don't understand us. And the reason they don't understand this, they ain't ever been around much old time religion. And so they gonna, if you listen to me, okay, I know what I'm talking about. They'll make statements like, well, he just preaches too hard down there. You ain't gotta live that way. You ain't gotta dress like that, and you ain't gotta do this and that. And can I just make a statement? If it was good enough for you to get saved in, come on now, don't die on me. If it was good enough for you to get saved in, it's good enough for you to live by. And we loved you and Jesus loved you. And so don't, I'm not saying don't love your family. You love them. You just remind them, hey, that crowd's the one that preached the gospel and I fell under conviction. I'm going with them. I love you, but I'm not going to your liberal church. I'm not going your liberal way. I'm going to stay in that old time. Amen. I just felt the need to say that. I don't know why, but I'm glad I'm in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm glad I'm in this house of the Lord this evening. Psalm 42, would you stand with me? And I'll be preaching tonight. I've preached on this subject several times in my ministry. And really over the last couple of years, the Lord let me go through some things that it's caused me to preach on it. I don't like preaching on it. I don't enjoy preaching on it. But I want to preach on it this evening. We've been preaching on victory in Jesus. And we're dealing with specific things in our generation that we're dealing with that face us all, that faces our generation, faces us as believers. But I'm glad, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There's victory to be had. And we preach messages. We preach, of course, the title message, the series we're in there out of Romans chapter number 8 on victory in Jesus. And then we moved from there and we dealt with the subject of victory over suffering. You're going to suffer in this life, but God wants you to have victory in the midst of your suffering, to rejoice and to be happy in the midst of bad situations. And it's easier to preach than it is to live, but it is possible that we can live that in these days. And then we dealt with last week, all day last Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, on victory over the world. Out of 1 John 5, that he that is born of God overcometh the world. And the fact that we're saved, we've got something on the inside that helps us overcome this ungodly world that we live in. Now tonight, I want to preach on the thought, victory over depression. Victory over depression. You hear me out, and as said the men in the prayer room, and many of y'all won't know a clue what I'm speaking about. I mean, every day you live, it's honey juice and roses, and the birds always sing it. And you won't know much about what I'm going to preach tonight, but there'll be a lot of folk here this evening, whether they'll admit it or not in their heart, they'll know everything that I'm preaching on tonight. Psalm 42, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, and with the multitude that kept holy day. How art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonades from the hill Mazar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou? This is second time the psalmist is going to make mention of this phrase here. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's pray together for a moment. Brother Billy, if you give me just a little more in my ear right here. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the goodness of God. I want to thank you tonight that you're on the throne. I want to thank you tonight for your word and all your goodness. And Lord, to give us a church to come to tonight. God, we all ought to be depressed and in the bed tonight. And Lord, all the heartache and turmoil and war and rumors of war in our society and our generation, God, is enough to depress all of us and to get us down. God, I pray tonight that, Lord, we would learn something from the Word of God tonight about this tactic and tool of the devil. Lord, may we win victory tonight over the spirit of depression, and Lord, over the oppression that comes our way. And Lord, may we leave here tonight, Lord, not that everything's going to change, but God, just seeing who our God is and getting a little bit of help and praising you for every little bit that you send our way. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, as we come to this passage of Scripture, it's unclear. Many of the psalms in the heading, in the title of the psalm, it gives the author of the psalm. But this psalm, it's unclear who authored this psalm. Most people believe it to be from the pen of David or the man that we preached about this morning, King Hezekiah. And I want to say this evening, since the Lord does not have this psalmist identified, then it must not be that important. The Lord, that you and I, my friend, understand it. Evidently, we can conclude that it's not relevant to our study tonight. But I do want to deal with this psalmist tonight in Psalm 42. One thing is clear, whoever it is, whether it's David or Hezekiah, one thing is clear, this psalmist here is in a state of discouragement, a state of despair, and a state, I'll show you in a moment, of depression. If you will, look with me again in verse number 5, where the statement is made. It's repeated again in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? The psalmist asks himself several questions, two questions. He's speaking to his own soul, and he said, my soul, I want to know, why are you cast down? Why are you brought low? Why is it that you're so discouraged and in despair and in this state of depression? He says and asks himself, why aren't thou disquieted in me? And we'll deal with that statement here in just a moment. But in these verses and these questions that are asked, we understand that this psalmist is in a state where, my friend, there ain't much shouting going on. There's not many good things going on in his life. He's gotten to the place that his circumstance and situation has got to be more than he can bear and more than his soul can handle. And, my friend, his soul begins to droop, and his soul begins to be cast down low, and his soul, my friend, begins to be weary. And this evening we consider discouragement and despair and the subject of depression. It's even depressing to preach on it tonight, and I I'm sorry about that. If you'll bear with me, I'll try to get us somewhere, amen, in some good waters tonight. But depression is something that my friend, our generation is dealing with on a mainstream level. Listen to some of these statistics tonight. It's been reported that over 20 million Americans at any given time of this evening, right now tonight, while I preach, there's 20 million Americans that, my friend, are battling with depression. Amen. Somebody estimated sometime that, my friend, nearly 10% of all Americans in this generation have faced depression, and others, my friend, would join me up. 80% of depressed people are seeking no help or no treatment or the depression that they're going through. I found this to be interesting. 15% of depressed people will commit suicide. And we're seeing that in America. If there were 30,000 suicides committed, and that's more than were killed even by homicide in America last year. Are you listening to me? One of the most recent events in our culture has been the suicide of Robin Williams. I'm not preaching against that or for that. Amen. But it does remind us that people go through and face this matter of depression. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much fame you have. It doesn't matter, my friend, what your job is. It doesn't matter if people like you or dislike you. That, my friend, the likelihood is that every American is going to be touched in some way, whether it's by their own depression or the depression of a family member or a loved one or a friend that they have in this land. Depression, my friend, is, it's estimated, will be the second largest killer after heart disease by the year 2020. Studies are increasingly linking more illnesses to depression, including osteoporosis, diabetes, heart disease, some forms of cancer, eye disease, and even back pain. They're beginning to link to the subject of anxiety and stress and depression. I'm not saying tonight if you got any of those that you're depressed and suicidal tonight. Amen. But there are studies that are being done in our generation that are proving that, my friend, these things are linked to a spirit of depression that we've not learned to deal with in our society. Mary, I found this to be interesting. I read it and I thought it was quite humorous, to be honest with you, but married women are more likely to be depressed than unmarried women. Ain't that a blessing? Amen. You got your husband to thank for your depression and that. Amen. On the other hand, married men are less likely to be depressed than unmarried men, and it's been reported that unhappily married women are 3 times more likely to be depressed than unhappily married men. Now, you got to understand, before I make the statement I'm getting ready to make, I am a man that has been through depression, and I know what it is, but studies have shown that more women deal with depression than what men do. The rate of increase in depression among children is an astounding 23%, and I found this to be sad, that preschoolers are the fastest growing market for antidepressants right now in 2014. There are preschoolers that are coming in and they're depressed, and society's answer to that is, let's put them on medication and let's try to dope them up where they don't feel all the hurts and cares of life that are being brought their way. I ain't got time to preach right there and deal with why that even children are faced with depression and teenagers are faced with depression. The fact of the matter is, you better get your head out of the sand and understand it can even touch your children. And the answer ain't running them down to some doctor and getting them antidepressants. We better learn to deal with it in a biblical way. Somebody say amen. Now, the question that's been debated in recent years is this: can a Christian face and experience this matter of depression? I'll be honest, I can understand that, how the drunkard can face depression. I can understand that. My friend, why people whose homes are falling apart and crumbling around them, I can understand why children that are coming through those situations that are sad. And I'm not trying to downbeat on anybody tonight. It's a thing of the matter. I can understand why that they're depressed tonight.
The thing that has been debated is, can Christians go through and experience, my friend, this matter and this fact, an experience of depression? I want to say tonight, amen, I believe that Christians can face depression. I know a lot of old-time preachers got up and preached and say, no, if you're saved and you're at with God, you'll never be depressed. But, friend, you have a hard time proving that to me from the Word of God. When men like Elijah went and sat down under a juniper tree and said, God, just let me die. You know what he's going through? He's going through depression. Men like David had penned down words and said, amen, he didn't feel like he could make it and wondered, was he going to live it? And wept himself, my friend, to sleep at night. Amen. And crying and weeping that he describes in his life. I'm telling you, this very psalmist, being David or Hezekiah, amen, they were saved and they knew God. Amen. And they were right with God. And yet, he got to the place where he said, my soul, why art thou cast down? What are you going to do with John the Baptist in the latter years of his life? Amen. He had to send word and said, amen, is this the Messiah? Have I wasted my life? You know what I believe was going on in the heart of John the Baptist, Seth? And he had a season and a bout, amen, of being depressed and being discouraged, Seth, and doubting whether or not, amen, what he had sunk his life into was really worth it all. There's a great man of God, when I say his name, many of y'all know it, that lived and pastored and ministered years ago, the name of Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon has a book out that he compiled entitled Lectures to My Students. One of the chapters that he gives in there, one of the lectures that he taught those young preachers that would come to him for training, is entitled The Minister's Fainting Fit. And you'll read that chapter and study Spurgeon's life. You'll find at Charles Spurgeon, the great pastor in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, my friend, a great man of God that we study after and read after, and has even had an impact in our generation by the things that he's left behind, was a man that faced severe depression in his life. There were times, Brother Dean, that he couldn't even get himself out of bed to go to church on Sunday mornings, and his wife would call for some of the elders in the church, and they would come in and help Charles Spurgeon out of the bed and get him dressed and get it moving where he could just make it to the house of God. And he would stand and he would preach and the power of God would fall and a man on a man that was under a severe depression. There were times that several times in his ministry for 3 months at a time he would take sabbaticals and go to Australia to deal with the depression that he was having to rest his body. And my friend, just trying to do everything that he can to make it. And Charles Spurgeon, I believe, was saved. I believe he's right with God, and yet he battled and faced this thing of depression. And so you have a hard time arguing with me. And my friend, a man can't go through bouts and seasons, my friend, where depression settles in upon his life. I heard a young preacher, if I called his name tonight, many of y'all would know him. I heard him preach several years ago in a camp meeting, and he stood up, and I was going through my bout of depression and breakdown, and he got up and he began to preach about depression, and he said, if you're saved and right with God, you'll never face depression. And he said, if you are depressed, the reason is you got sin in your life and you need to get right with God. I sat there under depression, searching my own heart. And my friend, I walked away that day wondering, Lord, what is the answer to all this? That same young preacher, amen, about a year later was preaching about being depressed and being in a hole. Amen, I called him up after I heard him. I said, now, amen, I heard you preach 2 years ago and you preached against it. Amen, you ought not, amen, criticize something you've never been through. Amen. If you've never experienced it, amen, you ought to say, thank God, thank God, thank God, and pray for others that face it every week of their life. depression tonight. Understand this with me this evening. Y'all with me now? I ain't trying to depress you. Hang with me. I'm going somewhere. A child of God must remember that depression is a weapon of Satan to discourage us from serving God. When he begins to discourage you and get you in a state of despair that leads to depression, and friend, it's his tactic, it's his weapon to get you down where you will not serve God. It is real, and I want to make that statement again tonight. It is a real thing, but God desires our victory even over this serious matter that can come against our lives. I'm glad tonight, listen to me, and I'm not preaching against pills. I'll say a word about that here in a moment. I'm not preaching against that. My friend, we as God's children, amen, our hope better be in the Lord tonight. Amen, we better be rooted and anchored in God and in Christ this evening. Amen, cause my friend, the likelihood that it's going to come, my friend, is there. And we've got to learn how that we might get victory over this matter of depression. Three things in this psalm tonight. Amen, three main things I want to deal with. And I believe will go a long way in us understanding it and then getting victory over it. Consider tonight the meaning of depression. You say, preacher, what are you dealing with tonight? What does depression mean? Webster said in 1828, he said, depression is the state of being pressed down. He said, the state is the state of sadness. He said, it's a low state of strength, that you just begin to be weak on the inside. He said, that depression is the sinking of spirits. And here's one that really settled in my mind. He said, depression is the want of courage or animation. That is, you begin to lose your liveliness. You go from smiling and enjoying life, my friend, just trying to do everything you can to claw through in death and to crawl through in death and to do everything you can just to survive. That's what depression is, my friend, and it's a very real thing. And the word the psalmist uses in Psalm 42 to describe his depression is found in one little word in verse 5 and in verse number 11. Look with me, if you will, verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou, watch it now, disquieted in me? The word disquieted, I believe, describes this psalmist and where he is in this matter of depression. The word disquieted means to murmur, it means to growl, it means to roar, or it means to howl. What the psalmist is saying is, and his soul can speak no words, and there's nothing really for him to hang on to on the inside. And Brother Dean, all he can do is, how am I going to get through? His soul is murmuring it and groaning with the pain that he's going through. And the meaning of depression in that, when you get to the place where your soul, my friend, can't speak it, or you can't describe what you're going through, and the pain that you feel is so great, and my friend, you can't describe it and put it into words. Amen. The soul begins to be put down, strength begins to be lost. Amen. Sadness settles in and liveliness begins to leave. That's where the psalmist says this word disquieted. It indicates the murmuring of one soul in distress. It's a description. It is descriptive of the sound and the roar of the waves in the sea. If you'll talk with people that have been depressed and had a bout of depression, many of them will describe in something like this. I feel like there's water in my ears. I feel like there's a storm around me all the time. That's what the psalmist is saying in the word disquiet. And he's saying, Brother Gerald, I feel like I'm being tossed about. I feel like all that is around me is a storm. And while everybody else is smiling in front of me, I'm actually in a state of storm and hurt in my leg. And the waves of the sea are dragging me down. And I feel like I'm drowning. There have been people that have described depression and anxiety, amen, as a heavy weight on their chest, where they were literally drowning under the pressure that was in their soul. Have you ever been there? I've been there when you couldn't even breathe. Amen. And that's where the psalmist is saying tonight, amen, that he's been disquieted. Depression. Let me say this tonight. Depression is not so much defined as it is experienced. Amen. You say, describe to me and define to me depression. Well, I can't really do anything more with it than what I've already done. Amen. Because it's not so much defined as it is experienced. When you get there, you'll know you're there. You get down, you'll know that you're down. And when you, amen, feel that creep in upon you, that state of being pressed down, that state of sadness, that state where you've lost strength, that place where your spirits are sinking down, amen, it's not as much defined as it is experienced. Is everybody with me? You say this tonight, it comes at us on many different levels and from many sources. You say, preacher, tonight, I think I've been through... Well, there's many different levels of depression. Amen. You can have a bad day and be a little depressed about it. And then there's others that, my friend, they have severe bouts of depression. We can deal with that this evening, all the different times. But notice with me in this, under the meaning of depression, consider with me at least four sources this psalmist gives as to where his depression has come from. In verse 1 and 2, again, he said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. And then he makes this question. He said, when shall I come and appear before God? And let me say, number one, his first source of depression that was in his life dealt with, I believe, and for sake of outline, we'll call it barrenness. He doesn't feel like he's where he needs to be with God. He doesn't feel like, my friend, there's the nearness of God in his life. And so now he's in a place, he's looking around. We understand by the end of this psalm, he's up against an enemy. He's up against bad situations. And now it feels like that God has forsaken him. And he's desirous that he can be near God and touch God and feel God. Can I say tonight that spiritual depression oftentimes is a result of that feeling. And God is not as near as, amen, we would like Him to be, or that we know He could be. Amen. And it's not that He ain't, it's just a feeling. And I don't know where God is in this situation. A barrenness. Notice with me verse 3. Our sleeplessness as a source of His depression. Notice what He said. He said, my tears have been by me day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Sleeplessness. He said, I'm crying, and I'm crying day and night. You know what that tells me? It tells me two things. Amen. Number one, he was not getting proper rest. And he was not getting a proper dad. Amen. He said, all I can do is cry day and night. Well, I've never cried while I'm sleeping, so evidently the psalmist, other than that, he's up all day. He's weeping. He's crying. And in the night, he's up and he's weeping and he's crying. And my friend, sleeplessness will lead you into a state of depression. That's why God said in His Word, it's vain to rise up early and to stay up late. Your human body demands proper rest and attention to recover from the stress of the days and the weeks that you and I labor. Amen. Sleeplessness. Amen. You ever get in the state where your sleep begins to flee from you and the troubles of life weigh on your mind and all you do is toss and turn? Amen. Mark it down. That sleeplessness is going to become a source of depression in your life. Proper diet. Now, under this matter of sleeplessness, while he's awake, he said, all I've had to eat is my tears. You can't make it long just eating tears. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm learning the older I get? Now, when I first went off, Brother Epps, I first went to Bible college, and my freshman year, I stayed in the dorms. I had one roommate, me and Jason, and we would order a pizza. He'd eat half of it, and I'd eat half of it, and we'd drink a 2-liter Mountain Dew apiece. And I I'd roll over in the bed and sleep like a baby. You know what I'm learning at 35, halfway through my 30s? I can't do that no more. I can walk by and smell a pizza and I'm up all night with acid reflux and heartburn. Hey man, if I drink caffeine past 6 o'clock in the afternoon, son, I'm shot. I ain't going to sleep. Hey man, what am I saying? You got to have proper diet. You got to understand there's some things you can't do. Hey man, you can't eat the big old piece of chocolate cake at night and expect to sleep all night. Everybody okay? Amen. Sleeplessness should bring you into depression. Notice with me verse 7 and 8. I've got to hurry. Amen. I hope y'all are getting help tonight. Amen. You ain't got much help yet. Just hang with me now. The Bible said, verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. He said in verse 9, I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. Write this down, not only barrenness and sleeplessness, but bitterness. He got to the place where he believed that God had done him wrong and forgotten about him. He's blaming God. He's saying, God deep calleth unto deep. It's you that's brought this into my life. It's you that's let this enemy come against me. Why in the world am I mourning all the day long when I've got a God that is my rock and it seems like that has forgotten me? And I say bitterness in your relationship with God when you don't like where God has led you, when you don't like what God has allowed to happen in your life. Amen. When you rise up and say, God, I hate what you've let come into my life. Mark it down. You're on your way to depression. Bitterness. Then notice this. Oppressiveness. He describes in verse number 10, in verse, the end of verse number 8, he talks about the oppressive, the oppression of the enemy. He said in verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You know what the psalmist is dealing with? That's an oppressiveness. Others had done him wrong, and it was challenging his faith. Can I remind you tonight, if you live long enough, you're going to get hurt. If you live long enough, you're going to face an enemy. If you live long enough, somebody's going to do something that upsets your apple cart. And how you respond to that may determine how you go through and face and experience the spirit of depression. Amen. So I don't like what somebody did to me. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, you better learn to deal with it in the right way, because that oppressiveness later down the road will creep up and bring depression in your life. Barrenness, sleeplessness, bitterness, oppressiveness, the meaning of depression. Notice the manifestation of depression. There's three ways depression is manifested in this psalm. I'm hastening on. I could preach on that on this. Verse 3, it was manifest in his tears. When somebody goes losing their smile, there's an indication there's depression settling in. I'm not one of these preachers that think, amen, listen, you're going to hurt enough in life. Amen, you're going to frown, you're going to cry, you're going to shed tears, you're going to hurt, you're going to have pain. Amen. You better learn to laugh every now and then. Amen. I believe when it comes to victory, though, tonight, amen, and depression, victory over depression, this depression has bogged him down where he's got to the place, listen, he said, all I can do day and night is cry. That's what he said in verse number 3. Notice when these tears are shed. He said they're shed day and night, continually day and night. Day and night. I get up in the morning and it's there. I try to sleep at night and to get away from it. Amen. In my dreams. And yet it won't let me sleep. I weep and I cry. His tears are manifesting. There's depression. Behind smiles tonight and behind eyes and behind hands in the air and hallelujahs and amens and preach. You'd be amazed how many people cry tonight before they go to sleep. Wishing things were different in their life. A spirit of depression manifested in tears. Notice when they're shed, but notice what they're saying. Notice what he said in verse number 3. My tears have been my meat day and night. Why they continually say, while they, what is they? I believe the they is his tears that are running down. He said, while they, my tears continually say unto me,
Where is thy God? Those that have been through depression and are saved and are children of God want God's help. God, I want you to help me. But when you get so low and all you can do is cry, you know what your tears say? God, where are you? Where are you tonight? You try to go to work and all you can do is cry all the way there. You listen to me, Brother Dean. I know what I'm talking about. There were days that my wife has had to help dress me and put me in the car and sit over there in the driver's side and turn my face. And all I could do, damn, was weep all the way to church saying, God, I need you. God, where are you in all of this? God, why am I going through this? God, why is this so hard? Where is my liveliness? Where's my animation? Where's my courage to live? God, where are you? In his tears. Notice in his thoughts, verse 4, we find in this psalm, in the psalm we find his depression is connected to dwelling on the negative. Every time he talks about his soul being cast down and his soul being disquieted within him, it's connected to a negative thought. Now, I'm not Joe Osteen-ing you tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. I got no perm hair and big old teeth in my mouth. Somebody say amen tonight. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, but there is something to be said. If you dwell on the negative and dwell on the hurts and dwell on how you've been done wrong and dwell on what you don't like and dwell on how somebody hurt you 15 years, 7 days, and 2 hours ago, you're going to wind up, my friend, coming to the place where them negative thoughts are going to depress you down. In his thoughts, all he can do is think about the negative. Then it's manifested not only in his tears and his thoughts, but in his talk. Yes. Do you realize every time he opens his mouth in this psalm, nearly everything he has to say is negative? You know why? Because all he can do is think negative. You listen to somebody talk long enough, they'll indicate to you what's going on where it relates to depression in their heart. You always dwell on the negative, you'll always speak about the negative. There's some people I don't think they've ever had a good day. Right. How you doing? Well, my bunions hurt. They hurt bad. My baldness and my beltones and my bulges. Amen. And they'll talk about all that they've gone through. You know what they're telling you? I'm depressed.
Right.
Amen.
Yes,
when you can't see the good in life and all you can see is the negative, mark it down, you're depressed.
Yes,
you ain't a martyr.
Right.
We got a martyr's mentality in our day. I'm a martyr. Ain't? There's good in your life somewhere. There's something good you can hang on to. And you better find the good and hang on to it because there's enough bad in this world. All right, I feel like I'm letting y'all down tonight. I feel like I'm about to send y'all home depressed out of your mind. We'll hand pills out at the door. Somebody say amen. The meaning, the manifestation. But notice this with me in this psalm. I think this psalmist, he gives us something here tonight about the mastering of our depression. I want to make the statement tonight. I'm winding down, but it's impossible to keep depression from coming. When it comes, it's coming, baby. You better hang on. You say, I'm more spiritual than that. Well, God bless you. You let me know how that works out for you. Bless God, I read my Bible every day. Good. Let me know how that works out. Everybody okay? Bless God, I live right, I dress right, I'm holy. Good. Let me know how that works out for you. Because it's coming. And if it don't come, you're blessed and you ought to shout. You ought to be on your feet running around tonight busting hinges off of doors. Depression's going to come. Amen. But God has designed that you and I, it is His ultimate will that you and I, in depression, have victory. You can go through depression and be cast down and losing strength and still have victory.
Amen. Y'all hang with me now. Pills and programs may help, but it is God who gives the victory. I'm not preaching. Listen, I think maybe I've said this before, but there's some people I like them better when they take their pills. I don't like them real good when they ain't on their medication. Can I get a witness? Some people don't need to come off. I pray they never come off. Woo! Hallelujah. Pills and programs, we're thankful for these things. I'm not one of these guys that say, bless God, if you take a pill for depression, you ain't right with God. Some people got to take it. Whether you take it or you don't take it, God must be the one that you lean on if you're going to have victory. I ain't leaning on Oprah tonight. Amen. Oprah ain't ever give me anything to help me with my depression. Amen. Dr. Phil ain't ever give me any advice to help me with my depression. Amen. Dr. Laura ain't ever give me any kind of input and advice that has ever helped me with my depression. But I'm telling you, there's a God in glory. And when I've been down, I didn't think He was watching, but thank God He was watching. He knows how to give victory in the midst of a depressed spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. His psalmist, I believe, found a measure of victory in his depression. Notice with me, number one, through craving for God. The Bible said in verse 1 down through verse 4, He said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. You know what He's saying? He's saying, I'm downcast, and I'm down, and I'm discouraged, and depression is settled in, and there's still something on the inside that knows, if I can ever touch Him, if I can ever get to Him, if I can get near Him again, there'll be help, hath, and victory given me in the midst of my depression. He said, I still got a thirst for Him. Oh, like the old deer that, hey man, has got a long way from the water, and he begins to pant, and he begins, hey man, doing everything he can to make it back to the water brook and be nourished again. The psalmist said, in this place of depression, I'm trusting that I can find God again. Notice what he said in verse number 4. Y'all still with me now? Hang with me. The Bible said, when I remember these things, what has he been talking about? He's been talking about his tears in verse 3. All the hurt that is associated, all the things him tears have been saying, all the days and nights he can do nothing but weep and cry through life. He said, when I remember these things, he said, notice it now. He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. Watch it now, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy days. You know what he said there? I was depressed, but I kept craving after God. I didn't know. I couldn't see God. I didn't know if God was near, but I still had a desire for Him to touch my leg. He said, I kept on going down to the house of God. They kept a shouting and they kept a praising. They kept the holy day. I just went because it was right. But in going, I believe David found something sooner or later that helped him. Say, preacher, I go to church, I can't shout, I got no praise, I got no life in me. Well, come on anyway. Yeah. Amen. If you got a bless God, come in your pajamas and a house coat and slippers, amen, you find a way to get to God's house. Amen. When you get depressed, that ain't the time to lay out. That's the time to get in. Amen. That's when you say, God, I'm going to go. I know it didn't help me last week, and it didn't help me last month, but I'm going to trust that maybe today I'll find God in all this. Craving God. Don't give up on God. Don't quit craving for God. Notice number 2, not only through craving after God, but through honesty with God. Y'all hang with me. I'm going to slow down just a minute right here. You got to get honest about it. There's people who say, I ain't depressed. I'm just being attacked by the devil.
like there's some spiritual giant. They're greater than the rest of us. Hey, man, won't you just get honest about it and say, I'm weak and I get depressed. Now, I'm not trying to talk you into depression tonight. Everybody okay? But there's times you just got to get honest about it and say, I'm weak. God's strong, but I'm weak, and I can't handle all this. Amen. Everybody okay? He got honest. Listen, he got honest about, you got to get honest about your condition of the depression. Verse 5 and 6, 5 and 11, he just pours it out. God, I'm down. He said in verse 6, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Tell God about it. Tell God about it. Well, if I tell God that, what's God going to think? God already knows where you are. Nothing wrong with getting on this altar tonight and saying, God, I don't like what happened to me. I don't know how to handle it. It's more than I can bear. And what I've been through, it has cast me down. You've got to get honest with God about your condition of the depression, about your concern about the depression. Verse 7 and 8, amen. Tell God how that you feel. He's responsible and that He don't care. Amen. Y'all didn't like that, did you? That's sacrilegious. No, it ain't. It's called getting honest with God. Best day of your life is when you realize God wants you to be honest with Him about everything going on in your heart. Even Christ at Calvary told us it's all right to share your feelings with God. You may not trust this preacher. You may not can trust other people in this building. I hope you can. But I promise you, you can trust God with how you feel. David said, God, I feel like it's your fault. Or the psalmist, whoever he is, said, I feel like it's you. You brought this to me. You've forgotten me. Then he gets honest. Listen, he gets honest tonight, not only about his condition, concern, but he gets honest about the cause of his depression. Verse number 10, he said, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. David said, it's an outside influence. It's brought something into my life. Anybody ever lied on you? Done you wrong? You didn't like it? You didn't handle it that well? You couldn't bear it? David knows where you are. This psalmist knows where you are. He said, there's an enemy that's come against me. But notice his question that he asked. He said, why? Why art thou cast down within me? Why art thou disquiet? You know, David had the worst kind of depression there is, and listen to me well. David had causeless depression. David said, why? You shouldn't be, but you are. You ought to be living on a greater level than this, but you ain't. Amen. You say, but preacher, no, it ain't as much about your enemy as it is your own weakness. Amen. And we're all weak. I'm not preaching down at you. I'm just telling you, you do yourself well when you realize you ain't as high and mighty as you think you are. You get the place, you say you ought to be living on another level than what you're living on, and get honest with God about your own weakness. Notice this with me, through dependence on God. I like what he said in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. You know what the psalmist said? Brother Johnny, here's what he's saying. He said, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't see God in any of it. I hope I can touch Him today. But I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on trusting. It's the mentality of Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Dependence on God. Even though you may feel He has mistreated you, continue to look to God for help. Last of all, and I'm done, this is probably the toughest thing to do when you're depressed. But the psalmist learned it. He learned how to master his depression through praise of God. Notice what he said in verse number 5. It's interesting as he said, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? He says, hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Here's what David said.
I can't see God. I don't know where God is. But by faith and by hope, I'm trusting. God's face is on me where I am. God's watching me where I am. In all this that I'm facing, God is there in glory, and He's looking through all the darkness. And David said, the psalmist said, just on that truth alone, yet will I praise Him for the help of His countenance. Amen. Sometimes all you got, Brother Gerald, is to shout on the fact that that Bible said, even when you can't see Him, God sees you. The help of His countenance. This implies that God's face is upon my situation and is helping me. And then he closes his psalm in verse 11. He said, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance. Verse 5, he's praising God for the help of His countenance. But he ends his psalm and he says, I'm going to praise Him for the health of my countenance. What's that mean? Somewhere between verse 5 and verse 11, and him praising God for the help of God's countenance being on him, David said, I can't explain it, but there's a little bit of help coming my way, and I'm coming up out of this thing. Here's what I want you to know. Here's how you get victory over it. You praise God for every little bit of help you get. If He gives you an ounce of help, you say, hallelujah, Lord. I'm still in it, but you give me a little help. Several years ago, I went through this. I ain't going to bore you with all this. Did Candy have to leave? All right. Lord, and Hannah's gone, and Maddie's sick. Anybody else play the piano? Huh? Lord, Amy will pass out. Would you come play? Just something. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. You know that one. Amen. Would you do that? Hallelujah. God bless you, sister. Ain't that a blessing? Somebody ought to say amen. I was going through my bout with depression. I mean, I got down. And I'm not trying to depress you with what I've gone through. I was about suicidal. And hated it. Hated every minute of it. And I stand here tonight and give God the glory. He got me through. But I wouldn't go back through it for nothing in this world. I got the place where I just said, Lord, and the doctor said, you got to go on medication, you got to do it. I'm not against that. I just said, Lord, if you could help me and I don't have to do that, I'd sure appreciate it. Started getting in the prayer closet and praying. I didn't feel a thing. For about 3 months, I'd get up and preach, Brother Epps, and they'd about run the aisles. Altars were full of people getting saved, and I wasn't feeling nothing. But every time somebody gets saved, I'd say, thank you, Lord. Every time somebody else would stand and say, God answered a prayer this week, I'd say, thank you, Lord. Still hurting on the inside, wasn't feeling nothing. And the day came about 6 months later. I woke up and I wasn't depressed no more. And it wasn't that it happened overnight. It was over time, just starting to thank God for every little victory that He let me see. If it was in your life, I'd praise Him for it. If it was a prayer that He'd answered for me, just something little, I'd say, Lord, thank you. You know how you get over it? You quit dwelling on all the bad. Say, Lord, I'm gonna praise You. If it's just a thimbleful of a blessing, I'm going to thank You for the help that You give me. Amen. Well, I feel like I've made a mess out of this tonight. I believe tonight we can get help if we want it. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know in greater ways than I know. Some of you wives and some of you husbands have a spouse that's been through it or is going through it and your life's affected. Won't we get on this altar tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to keep staying hungry and thirsty for You. I'm going to keep craving. I'm just going to get honest with You about it. I don't like where I am. I don't know where You're at in all this. I feel forgotten. Lord, I'm going to keep depending on You right here where I hurt. I'm going to keep depending on You. And Lord, I'm going to praise You as best I can, as best as You'll let me. Give me grace to do. I'm going to praise You for every little bit of help You give. Would you stand with me? Amy's playing. Lord, we love You tonight. We're thankful for the Word of God. I want to thank you this evening. You're on the throne. Lord, tonight we understand our generation, our society's in a mess. God, we're living in that, and Lord, we're under that, and Lord, a lot of things even we as Christians got to deal with. Father, I do want to ask you tonight, would you help us? Help these that are making their way tonight. Lord, a lot of days we smile. God, we're hurting on the inside. Lord, a lot of times we get around our church family, and Lord, Lord, try to be a blessing, encouragement. Lord, just be happy as best we can. Lord, on the inside, we hurt. Lord, we don't feel much of anything. Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us have victory over depression. In Jesus' name. No one's looking around. There's several in the altar tonight. Would you mind the Lord? Would you mind the Lord? My sister Amy, please. Please mind the Lord tonight.